Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle DeLino, a divorce and family law attorney in Seattle. I'm here with my co-host again, Amy Alpeza, certified divorce real estate specialist with Windermere Realty, also in the Northwest. We have a special guest today. We have Hugo Johnson. Hugo works with my firm. He is the senior attorney at my firm, and Hugo is also a parent to twin girls with his husband, Tom. It's LGBTQIA History Month, so we thought it would be great to talk with Hugo, someone who knows, about some of the challenges that parents face and some of the things that other people might not think about and a little bit about his journey. So thanks, Amy, for being here. And Hugo, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. It's nice to be here.
Awesome. Cool. So, you know, I mean, I've known Hugo for a long time, and I knew Hugo before he had kids, and he now has, like I said, twin girls. Can you tell us a little bit about when you and Tom decided that you wanted to be parents? You know, what were the things you had to consider, and what did you have to go through to make that a reality for you?
Yeah, you know, this was back in 2016. And so we kind of started the journey, you know, prior to that, because we had a surrogate, who's my best friend. You know, I had known her for a long time. And so it was, you know, a great fit, for us, but we had to start looking back into it in 2015 and kind of figure out what all of the, you know, legal kind of framework would be, from, you know, just kind of getting a contract together to make sure if something happened, you know, that Tom and I had parental rights, to also just trying to figure out, you know, how this was going to practically work out, you know, when we're in the hospital, you know,
sure.
And the babies were being born. Because, you know, one of the things that I didn't want to have, and I think that this was probably something that was probably on my radar for concern, just being an attorney, but having one of those situations where your kids are born and who knows what, you know, could happen if somebody, you know, gets sick and, you know, they're not healthy, right? And you have to make decisions. And then being in the situation of having a social worker or somebody at the hospital who doesn't really know what to do, you know, with two same-sex parents, and then there's a surrogate and everybody's just kind of confused while you're trying to figure out, you know, how to make the best decisions for your child, and other people aren't even sure who they're supposed to ask to make these decisions. So that was probably one of, you know, I would say one of the biggest hurdles, because in Washington, commercial surrogacy, as they call it now, you know, surrogacy for compensation, wasn't even legal then. And so we had to just do an altruistic, you know, surrogacy agreement with Nikki and go to the hospital, you know, before the kids were born, and the social workers to make sure that they had everything set up, you know, in the way that it needed to be, so we didn't have any hiccups, you know, along the way when the kids were born.
Oh, wow. And this is the thing, like, you're an attorney, so you thought to do this stuff and you knew there was going to be a lot of hurdles to jump through and just making sure that everything went smoothly. What would you recommend to a couple that's just thinking about starting this? Who should they talk to? What should be the first steps in really thinking about it if they're thinking about going the surrogacy route?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's critical to, you know, to speak with an attorney and, you know, to have somebody who is going to be able to kind of give you the framework around how things are going to work, you know, mm-hmm. not only on the side of being the intended parents, but also on the side of how it works with, you know, the surrogate, because obviously there's right. going to be kind of, you know, different legal things, you know, depending on the person who, you know, is the party to that contract. And they can be really difficult conversations to have with somebody, because
sure.
it's just such
sure.
an intimate, you know, decision that you're making. And so I think that an attorney can kind of maybe take some of that awkwardness out of everything,
right.
because then it, you know, becomes a little more like, all right, well, this is, you know, setting the terms for the business relationship, because that at the end of the day is what it is.
Right.
And so I think it can just be helpful to talk to an attorney about how the entire process looks, including, you know, the process of, you know, being at the hospital and signing birth certificates, like just getting down to, you know, the actual details that frankly are going to matter at the end of the day.
Totally. And those things are obviously a lot easier, you know, in certain situations than others. And just tell us, like, did you and Tom encounter any hiccups along the way or any questions either at the hospital or throughout the process where basically that were a challenge?
Yeah, you know, we did. So at the hospital, it was interesting. Yeah, everybody was great. The social workers were great. We didn't have any issues with that. But then when it came to signing the birth certificates, they didn't know what to do. Like they didn't know who to take the birth certificates to, even though we had, you know, a surrogacy agreement. And so they were trying to have the surrogate sign the birth certificate. And she you know, being my friend too, wouldn't sign it. She said, I'm not the legal parent. I'm not to sign this. And I actually had to call the Washington Department of Health when I was in the actual NICU, you know, with my kids, because they were making it a situation to seem like, oh no, we have to have somebody sign this. And, you know, being a lawyer, I kind of was, you know, telling these people, this isn't the type of, you know, kind of publicity you want around this. Right, like, this is not the way that it works. She's not a legal parent. Like, we're here with the kids and we are the ones that are to sign the birth certificates. And they kept giving me wrong information. And I knew it was wrong being an attorney saying, oh no, well, we'll just send it in and amend the birth certificate. And I said, this is not how the process is to work. You know, and I basically told them that they needed to have a better system in place and should know this, because they're going to run into this more and more, you know, with more same-sex couples, you know, having children. And that, frankly, probably lucky for them that I was kind of their guinea pig case with it. Because at least I knew, you know, what the right answer was and had to guide them along that process. And so it all did work out in the end, but I couldn't imagine somebody, you know, with no legal background in the hospital with their kids, they're getting wrong information and just being entirely confused. And it can really ruin one of the, you know, happiest moments in your life. So.
Totally. And that's actually really scary too, because I mean, think about it. If I think about it just from a practical point of view, this is happening, you know, just a few years ago, like in Seattle. So, you know, think about other areas of the country too. I'm just sure that there's a lot of same-sex parents that are being given wrong information and that are having to jump through hoops that they might not otherwise have to. So that's actually really scary. And how are the girls now? Like is there any challenges that you guys face now as a same-sex couple? Or do you feel like things have been much easier since then? Tell us a little bit about what it's like for you guys.
Yeah, you know, everything has gone smoothly. I mean, I think that we probably encounter the same kind of trials and tribulations that, you know, any other family does. My kids go to school, you know, they're messy. They don't listen all of the time. Like, you know, a lot of people's other kids, and we deal it with the same way that
totally,
you know, that everybody else does. Yeah. I think one of the things for me, and it was definitely my hang up and not my kids, was I was worried when they went to school, how those conversations would go. Like, for, you know, they had Mother's Day at school when they were there. Sure. And I kind of thought, you know, how are the teachers, like, what are they going to say? Because they don't give you a handbook about these things. You know, I don't want my kids to feel left out. And then I think, oh, are they going to feel left out? Like, what are, you know, just these little things that you don't think about. I'm like, how are they going to address the situation? And it was really great. You know, there's a lot of same-sex parents at my kids' school, and they just came home and gave us Father's Day cards. And it was totally normal. Not even a conversation they had to have with us. It was just like, yeah, it is what it is. You know, I have two dads. And for them, it wasn't a big deal, because that's their life. And it always has been. And I think sometimes as adults, we kind of forget that, you know, kids are so innocent. These are things that, you know, they're just growing up with it, and it's their normal. It's normal for them. And I think I was thinking too much into it than they clearly weren't. So.
Totally. I think that's true. I mean, I was thinking about it too, and that's what I was wondering about, was like, school, do you guys encounter things like that? And I think we're really lucky to be, you know, how far things have come. I think there's still a lot further to go, especially in other areas of the country. But yeah, kids know what they know. And I think the most important thing is that they're supported by, you know, loving parents. I think, you know, and Hugo, you and I both deal with this, and we've dealt with this in family law cases. Courts don't care. I mean, it's here in Washington, they don't care. There's no presumption for mom or dad or anything like that. They don't care if it's a same-sex couple, if it's an opposite sex couple. They don't care. They just want what's best for the kids. And I think, you know, for the most part, that's at least something that's really refreshing to see in family court, that maybe family court's not always the best setting, but you don't have to worry if you're a same-sex couple, you know, that you're going to be treated differently. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I think in Washington, and especially King County, I think that is very true. You know, in other parts of the country, I don't think things have necessarily caught up to where they need to be. You know, and one of the things that I think about, because this came up when, you know, we were doing our surrogacy agreements, was, you know, they were talking about, well, doing a second parent adoption. And that's things that have come up, you know, with other friends that I have, you know, who are in same-sex relationships. And, you know, there's two thoughts on that. You know, I do understand, you know, some people wanting to do it to protect, you know, their rights, you know, anywhere they go, which I totally understand. But then there's the other side of it too, where some people feel, you know, as if, why should I have to adopt my own children? That's unfair. Other people don't have to do this because they don't. And so that's something that does come up sometimes. And I think is probably more on people's mind if they do a lot of traveling and things like that, may not, you know, just be in the Seattle area all of the time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, we deal with that even with people asking if they should do that with clients on a regular basis. And, you know, we'll do second parent adoptions for people. My thought is always, it's not really necessary. At least it's not necessary here where we are, but you're totally right that sometimes when people are traveling and they want to know, they want to have that extra security, they do it anyway. I know I did a couple of them in the last couple of years. And even though both parents were already on the birth certificate, it's something that some people just want to do. And I think in other states, it absolutely makes sense, maybe in every situation. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for telling us about, you know, just your experience and what you've gone through, you know, to get where you are. And I think if you had to tell anybody out there that's a same-sex couple thinking about becoming parents, what would you tell them? Would you tell them, obviously, we talked about they should talk to somebody if they're doing surrogacy, but any last minute tips or anything that you would tell somebody encouraging them to go for it?
Probably start looking into 529 plans now, getting that set up.
Right? No
making
kidding.
Making sure all of your ducks are in a row from a financial perspective, for sure.
Totally.
And, you know, I think just don't go into it with a lot of apprehension. You know, everybody has different things that they're going to encounter, but it's something that's very easily doable, whichever route that, well, I wouldn't say easily, but it's doable for almost all families now. And so if it is something that you're thinking about doing, do it. It's a great experience. Yeah.
Great. That's all you can say. Just do it. I totally agree. Thanks so much. We really appreciate it. And, you know, anybody out there that's listening, hopefully this was helpful to you. And thanks for coming on and spending the time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.